Tonight on Arena, we preview a new documentary on the much-loved and much-missed Marion Finucane, and Chris Wasser casts his eyes over the Christmas TV schedules. is the text. You can tweet the programme at RTE Arena. Well, it's hard to believe that it's almost a year now since the sudden death of the broadcaster Marion Finucane, and it's curious to wonder what she would make of the predicament we all find ourselves in now, and which began to unfold in the weeks after she died in January of this year. To mark that one-year anniversary on January the 4th, 2 days after the anniversary of her death, RTE One Television will broadcast a very special film about her, which has just been made by her friends Patrick Farrell and Kate McCullough. The intimate feature documentary is built around an interview with Marion's husband, John Clark, and that film, and the film really is a love letter to his Marion, the Marion who, as he said at her funeral, made the colours bright. And the Marion listeners might have thought they knew her, but they didn't. And they certainly will find out more about her in this documentary. Mary McGill has watched it for us. It's simply called Marion, and Mary joins me now. I suppose, Mary, it's almost impossible to overstate the impact, really, that Marion Finucane had on Irish broadcasting. And it's also, I think, almost impossible to overstate the shock that we all felt when she died last January.
Yes, it feels in many respects, Sean, like a kind of harbinger of what was to come throughout 2020 when so many people have lost so much. But there is a real kind of specificness and universality about this really, really moving documentary that speaks to Marion as a much loved wife and mother, and John's, the intimacy with the way in which John tells her story is really something to behold. But of course she was, and this really comes through as well, there's so much colour and depth and a real, I mean, Marion is so alive in this, Sean. Like, that's the thing that really grabs you. You know, she, you know, her fearlessness, you know, right from the get-go. I'm sure a lot of people listening will have seen that black and white footage of her as an architecture student occupying the house that was set for demolishing in St. Stephen's Green. And she, you know, she speaks to camera and, you know, she's so confident and she's so sure of herself. And of course, that kind of, you know, fearlessness accompanied her right through her career. But it wasn't easy. You know, when Marion started, you know, in 1979, probably one of the most landmark shows she's known for working on, Women Today, Ireland was still an incredibly conservative place, and she faced a lot of criticism and blowback for asking questions in true, you know, journalist, style, and you know, the value of truth was very important to her. But pursuing those stories Irish society wanted to keep out of sight, and if they were in sight, they wanted to stigmatise it. In doing that work, you know, it wasn't the easiest road to take, and of course the industry at that time was heavily male dominated. So on the one hand, you know, we have this incredible man who was her partner for 4 decades, John Clark, who was, you know, her champion. He's so proud of her and he's telling their story. But we also get a real sense of what she achieved through what was an incredible broadcasting career.
Yeah, the format of the documentary is really, as I settled into watching it, it really sucked me in. Because my presumption was, oh, we're going to get a number of talking heads here telling us about, you know, the undoubted abilities and talents and, you know, the achievements of Marion Finucane. And then we'll get, you know, archive footage and archive interviews. Yeah. I was very wrong. It is that single shot, almost as if it was done. I don't know how long the interview was, that initial interview that was done with John Clark. But he just sits and He opens his heart out to the camera.
He does. It's just a testament to how sometimes the simplest approach is the most effective and the most profound. I mean, John is so open with his grief, and it is, you know, the camera is on him. It's shot in black and white. At some point, you know, he's smoking a cigarette, and of course, it's emblematic of Marion. He says, you know, she could never give them up. And he speaks about, we get this profound sense of loss because it is so quiet, and of course quietness is what he sees as defining his life now without Marion. He says when they met, you know, and then they went for a drink in a bar in Dublin, they had a conversation about Hemingway, they disagreed on the quality of Hemingway's work, and he said, you know, that was the beginning of what he calls a 40-year conversation. And he says it's that absence of conversation that he misses so much. So that intense focus on him and that quiet lightness really brings you in to what is clearly a terrible, terrible loss.
And not surprisingly, he links in at a certain stage along the way, we hear about the death of their daughter, Sinead, who died at the age of 8. She died of leukaemia, and what a blow that was to the couple at the time. I was saying to myself as I was listening to it, you could just drop a pin into anything that John Clark says here, and it's profound, almost without fail, and deeply moving. I chose this clip a little bit further into the documentary. He mentions the daughter, Sinead, in this, and he mentions Marion as well.
The order of dying would be me first. And I was very happy with that idea, but it didn't work out that. You could say it's sad, but it's the order of things, you know. I've led a very lucky life, except I lost Sinead and I lost Marion, but, you know, I had an easy life and a good life. Marion always said, you know, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And there's a huge truth in that, whether you believe in him or not.
And that's John Clark in a clip there from the TV documentary. Marion, Mary McGill has been looking at it for us. It's going to be broadcast on January the 4th on RT1 television. And that's the nature of the way he speaks. It's so intimate. It's so, you feel he's speaking directly to you. And he really... Yeah, he does go on to say that, you know, there's a whole load of stuff that he hasn't dealt with yet and that it's personal and he's not sharing it. But what he does share is I found it deeply moving, Mary.
Yes, and I think if Marion was as a broadcaster, very concerned with representing the listener and making sure that she was asking questions on their behalf and that they were in the room with her when she was doing the work, I think John has somehow absorbed that idea of the importance of speaking to a person, right? When you're talking, you know, that intimacy really, really comes across. And I'm so glad you played that clip, Sean, because that notion of, you know, when he quotes Marion using that saying about God laughing at making plans, obviously huge resonance this year,
absolutely.
Massive. But also, you know, she was someone, he says, that really kind of marvelled at the randomness of life, right? How the joy that could bring, that their chance meeting, she met a broadcaster, John O'Donoghue, at a party, who suggested she put herself forward to, you know, audition as a continuity announcer in RTE the next week. And from there, she became a broadcaster. Yeah. The randomness of things like that. But of course, also the randomness of losing, you know, Sinead's age 8 in 1990, a terrible loss. And of course, as John's reflecting just her own death this time last year, or in January last year.
Yeah, and there's also, obviously there are all those personal aspects that he looks into, but he also gives some great nuggets of wisdom and analysis, I thought, around Marion Finucane's own broadcasting career. Let's just listen to, and the particular style and facility she had and where the listener was in her thinking. He'll introduce this montage of clips from different interviews that Marion did over the years. But it's John Clarke who is the voice I think you'll hear first.
She thought she had a bond with the listener, that together they would explore.
Hello there, and a very good morning to you.
I don't think she ever lost that concept. There was a togetherness, you know.
Would you have changed your physical attitude to resin modelling?
The only thing I still regret was that I wasn't cool enough to have got him by the tie and really scared him, because he would have thought I was going to kill him.
Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, good morning to you. You've just come through some big political test, and looking at some of the language that was used in the papers today, shambolic, omnishambles, dysfunctional.
We don't want to be reckless, we want to make money.
Well, the reason we're concerned about whether or not you've been reckless is that we're signing the guarantee.
Absolutely.
We have a vested interest now, and by we I mean all the listeners, had never had before.
A lot of listeners developed trust with her. For some of them, the only voice they had was Marion's.
A clip there from Marion, the TV documentary that'll be shown on RT1 television just after Christmas. And Mary McGill has looked at it for us. He touches it there. Trust was the big thing, the bond with the listener. And then you hear Marion Finucane in the midst of that all talking about we. And no royal we here. The we was the listeners, that's who I'm talking for here. The phenomenal, you know, when you hear them in isolation, you realise that's why she was so brilliant.
Oh yeah, Goosebumps, absolutely. And you know, for many of us, we might have heard variations of those clips many times throughout the years, and yet still they grab you. They even grab you in a televisual medium, Sean. They really do. I mean, her interview, which you just played a little bit from there, with Sean Fitzpatrick, then chairman of Anglo-Irish Bank, shortly after the bank guarantee in 2008, absolutely electrifying. Yeah. Electrifying because Marion knew the questions to ask.
Yeah. That's and a wonderful.
Asking those questions. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that the question. She knew the questions to ask. There's a wonderful section early on where she talks about the school that she went to, Skull Katrina, wasn't it? Yeah, and she talks about a nun in there who said, "I want you to question me. I want you to question me all the time." And that she said what that particular nun and I think other nuns in the school did. It was this idea of, didn't matter what the answer was. You didn't have to know the answers as a student. Know the questions to ask. Again, phenomenal lesson for a young potential broadcaster to get.
Absolutely. That blew my mind because it's not like something you would expect none of that era to come out with, we'll say. But clear, a fantastic lesson, particularly in a field like broadcasting. But she took those questions seriously. She knew the right questions to ask. And she, you know, she was direct, she was frank, and she was persistent. And in an interview like that with Sean Fitzpatrick, I mean, talk about paying off. It's era defining, you know.
When to use the first person plural, which she does brilliantly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it gives you a real sense as well, Sean, I think, of public service broadcasting and what the journalist is there to do. And you know, throughout, and I found myself thinking to myself, I really need to spend more time on RTE's archival, you know, website, because the quality of this material is just fantastic.
Yeah, there's one interview that I really want to play. Preparation is another important part of any interviewer's work. Let's listen to John Clark explain to us, first of all, how Marion prepared for interviews, and then we'll hear one of those interviews in action.
One of the things she did, which frightened, I think, politicians after a while, if a minister was coming in to talk about a new act he was going to pass or whatever, Marion read the whole act, not once, not twice, many times, and she read the small print. And if the minister hadn't done his homework, trouble.
Joe Jacob, who's junior minister with the Department of Public Enterprise, you are in charge of minding us, I understand, in a national emergency.
The Taoiseach has put in place immediately in the aftermath of the atrocity of the 11th of September. The Taoiseach put in place a coordinating committee involving a range of departments.
OK, so I got my message 7 minutes ago. What would have happened by now?
By now, how will the information and advice be given to the public?
Yeah.
And Marion, your question and the answer to it will be on my fact sheet, which will be in every home in Ireland weeks from now.
But tell me now.
I will tell you now. All information will be issued immediately, Marion.
Yeah. Well, say it's a bad situation.
If it's a bad...
Say a plane crashed into Sellafield. Say the wind was blowing this way. And it all happened 8 minutes ago.
Yes.
What advice do we give to our citizens and what happens?
We would be talking about iodine tablets.
How do we get our iodine tablets?
No, that will be in the fact sheet when it gets to your home, OK?
No, but you the fact sheet
Marion,
in front
could
of
I,
you.
And perhaps
what does it say in the fact sheet?
I'll tell you precisely.
What? You couldn't be. Put down the spade is the first lesson, I suppose, you learned. But just those interjections, the Marion Fanouken there from the famous interview with Joe Jacob, and it's part of the documentary that we're speaking about, those interjections so perfectly timed and always picking up on something that the interviewee has just said. So listening all the time.
All the time. And there's a real lightness of touch, Sean, in that interview. You know, she doesn't go for the very dogged approach. There's no need to. This is a car crash radio. It's highly entertaining. She's clearly entertained by it. But just asking those simple questions turns it into comedy gold.
Certainly does. I suppose there are two questions that I want to finish up with, if I can, Mary. Do we, at the end of this, I know we're only barely a year away from her death, do we, at the end of this documentary, do we have a sense of her impact on Irish broadcasting? Do we, in fact, get a sense of her impact on Irish feminism?
Oh, that's a great question. I think we do. I know, Sean, I think sometimes we need to be reminded. Ireland has made great strides, you know, in the last, particularly the last 5 years, we'll say, with the referendum and in the last 20 years, you know, on from the 1990s. But the seeds of what brought all that to fruition were set a long time before that. And Marion used her platform not only to give voice to herself, you know, as a female journalist in what was a very male-dominated area, she also used her platform to give voice to other women who had never had that space before. So she is really one of the architects of, you can call it Irish feminism, you can call it, you know, a modern Ireland, you can call it a changing broadcast landscape in the country. Whatever you call it, her impact on it is undeniable.
And this documentary, well worth the hour, and I think it's 15 or 16 minutes that it will ask you to give to it, Mary.
Yes, absolutely. I will say, though, do not watch without tissues. It's a requirement.
It certainly is. And that is a cue, quite definitely, to leave the final word from the documentary to John Clarke.
About a month before Marion died, we were watching another CNN Middle Eastern war somewhere, and she sat up in bed, turned off the telly, turned to me and said, "You'll never know how much I love you." It doesn't get much better than that.
John Clarke speaking in the documentary Marion, which will be broadcast on RT1 Television Monday, January the 4th at 9:30 p.m.